to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
What a day, what a week for political commentary. You know, just when you think it's all going to be about a baby or a Winston, and then those two guys met up over on the other side of the world. What, David?
Jesus Christ, did you see the video? The video that he played to...
How long before you had before you thought to yourself, hang on, it's real?
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
JFC is what I thought. I could not believe except I could believe I was seeing it, because this is what a real estate developer does when you make him the president of the United States. God, it was awful. It was so cliched, so hokey, so dopey, so self-absorbed, so simplistic, and risible.
Yeah,
Mikey, it was risible.
Do you think that Kim Jong-un felt the same way?
Do you think it sort of hit a few points?
They actually hit him on it, you know, they pandered to his ego just enough. And
yeah, I know. I'm sure that's what Trump thought he was doing, but he made the mistake of thinking the guy was as simplistic as he is.
Yeah.
This is a guy who went to he went to a Swiss finishing school. The guy, I'm sure the guy speaks better English than Trump. Not a high bar, to be fair. But
I noticed that Dennis Rodman, a professional basketball player and friend of Kim Jong-un, he said that Kim speaks... bits and bobs of good English.
Oh, is that?
Surely.
No, this guy is...
Maybe he doesn't need to, though, really.
Well, no.
He might have let it lapse.
But here we have the spectacle of the guy who thinks that if he just flatters him, it'll all work. And what has he come away with? Less than all of the preceding agreements. The only thing is a vague commitment to denuclearise the peninsula, and unilaterally... This doofus president says, "Oh, and we'll cancel the war games, and we might even take away 30,000 military."
Without telling the South Koreans,
the one thing brazen. That arguably had some kind of deterrent effect on bellicose activity by the North Korean army. You know, this might work, but it's much more likely that it's a dope thinking it'll work, and it will not.
You have to admit, though, they got together.
Mm.
Like, you know, a couple of months ago, there was talk of a nuclear strike. You know, and it was quite serious talk, you know, as far as, like, modern journalism can talk seriously about such a thing. You know?
It was, and yet I think, you know, it didn't make me flinch like the 80s did, where I would occasionally think, Christ, these people, they've got no control of this. Here, this looked way more like chest thumping and empty rhetoric. I'll concede, a possibility that it could all go terribly wrong because the North and the South have come to blows, and maybe in a fit of madness, he might actually unleash something.
There's some interesting photos I saw last night of South Koreans sort of all just stopped in train stations watching the whole thing and applauding. Right. Thing is, because they must be a little bit sick of the tension.
Well, wouldn't you? Christ, it's perpetual. I'm in the same way that I have vast admiration and anguish for people who suffer chronic illness. I think, how do you live with this for more than 2 or 3 days?
Yeah.
And now, how do you live with terror, year in, year out, the possibility that at any moment the bombs are going to rain down?
Yeah.
It's a hell of a thing. And on top of that, of course, North Korea have been...
The worst.
Well, the citizens have been coached to understand that America was the imperialist aggressor half a century ago, and it's only a matter of time before they come back over the border again. And so they're in a state of perpetual apprehension about it. Now, getting people out of a frame of mind like that, not a straightforward thing, I would have thought. And, of course, the South Koreans recognise this, and they recognise the clear and present danger that might present.
So from here, he gets to say that he did it. Trump gets to say that's about all he gets to say, really, isn't it? But he still did it.
Oh, and
you know, I hate him. But it's but he, you know, that's he can really, you know, he can play that Trump card, if you will.
Yes, he can. And the frustrating thing about contemporary media is that the image can
just try and dig any deeper.
yeah, that's right. And so you're left with this enduring image that the Make America Great Again people will cleave to. hug to their bosom, and say, "There, there's my man, bringing peace where nobody else could." Even though he's doing things that if Obama had done, they would have deplored him as a traitor.
True.
And that's where we are now. The politics have become siloed and polarised, that it's just impossible for people to accept that something somebody does is good if he's on the other team. And I would be, so I guess I'm guilty of it right now. But I just see him as such a failure as a president, and as somebody who can recognise the gravity of any situation, small or large.
Yeah.
Everything comes back to himself.
What about the very telling sort of performance at the G7 as well beforehand?
Yeah, well,
like that's discouraging. That's a bummer.
I did wonder if that was political theatre in preparation for the summit. You know, demonstrating to Kim Jong Un that he's his own man. And maybe it was just cheap theatre, and he was doing some kind of tantrum.
But who disses Canada?
I know,
like is Canada.
But I think maybe the better analysis that I've seen says that essentially, if you flatter him, he'll praise you to the ceiling.
Yeah.
If you challenge him, he will absolutely deplore you. And that's
there have been some interesting characters though in history though who have run that sort of game plan, who not necessarily on retrospect have been the coolest people to have in history. You think?
Well, which takes us back to that risible video where he's talking about, you know, just occasionally nothing
in
changes
a world.
Nothing changes for generations. Then occasionally, a man, a special man can change everything. All words to that effect. And oh my God, this a guy who is so unstudied in history. It's tragic.
So let's roll back home now. Let's have a look at the coalition government that we've got. And are we seeing sort of there's one faction in the media saying, "Oh, look, here's why the coalition's never going to work. Look, your coalition partners have turned on you." Ooh, is that justified, or is that just how MMP works?
I think it's how MMP works, and it's how
coalition governments have worked, haven't they?
Well, coalition of a fairly challenging spectrum works.
Yeah.
You know, to have both Greens and Winston Peters is the first time it's been tried. And that, actually, no, that's not exactly true. That, but it's never been quite as substantial an arrangement that depends on the support of both the Greens and New Zealand First at any one time. And therefore, you are going to get, from time to time, tensions demonstrated because New Zealand First is a law and order party.
Yeah.
And they recognise that there is unease in their voting constituency for anything that looks as though you're soft on crime. Now, they have said, if you take them at their word, that they believe that the three strikes proposal was... is an unwise move because they see it as an effective deterrent to serious crime, but they do say they're on board for wholesale justice reform. Now, if that's true, you could work with that. You could live with that. On the other hand, it may be that they just want to kick the can down the road and they don't want anything to change.
Sure.
And this is the real frustration of MMP, that you can't necessarily do anything bold ever. So you go back to the Labour government in 1972.
Just settle down, is what you're saying.
And you had Martin Finlay, who was a reforming justice minister, and now you have Andrew Little, who looks to be really in the same mould and intelligent about the big problems we have, namely far too many people in prison, shouldn't be there, causes huge problems. We need to...
Plus you've got old mate Mike Williams, former Labour Party president,
sort of
helping steer that from a lobbying point of view.
So you've got all of that promise, but on the other hand, you're stymied. You can't do the kind of bold things they did. On the other hand, there is an argument that says, when you were a bold first-past-the-post party, there was a very good chance they chucked you out after 3 years because you got to do a whole lot, but actually it got spat out. And the argument runs that Winston is old enough and experienced enough to recognise this and is actually doing them a favour by reining them in. I don't know. There's a part of me that wants to see us just be as bold as hell and say, right, It is nuts that we lock up more people per capita than almost anybody but the United States.
It is nuts that we do that.
Let's change that. And why not be bold and, for example, change the bail laws right now so that right away you might have about 1,500 let out. And maybe you go further and you do an analysis and you say, who's in there for non-violent crime? Let's send them home now.
Yep.
And just see where you go with it. Now, the thing is,
I love that because I'm a bleeding heart liberal,
but the voters would cough it up, and that's the frustration.
Statistically, if you're just looking at the data, it's a good idea. You know, like
gotta be.
And all the other places in the world that do that, is it seems to work. Like, I can't really get my head around how.
Scandinavia, man.
Yeah, Scandinavia again with the Scandinavia. Yep. But our justice system is essentially the same justice system that we implemented after World War II, isn't it?
Yes, true.
You know, and this is what I hate hearing. Elderly folk go on about, oh, the justice system's gone to pieces. Your justice system, you thought it up.
It's not
the one you always thought was so cool once, you know, but it's there's never going to be, it's not going to stay like this forever. It's got to change at some stage.
It's whether
we want to, you know, but wear it, doesn't it? Whether we want to own the change or not. You know?
If we want a better adjusted society, we've got to be taking care of the people whose lives are falling apart.
Yep.
And the people in prison are manifestly people whose lives are in all kinds of wreckage. And the one nice thing about the Waikerea announcement yesterday was that they're going to have a mental health unit, 100 bed, I think. And that's tremendous because
it was a big sell in the election.
Identified the statistics in the announcement yesterday. You know, 2/3 of prisoners have some kind of either mental health issue or drug dependency or both. And of course they would. You know, you don't end up in prison readily.
Yeah.
You do it when your life is falling apart. And you need to mend these lives.
Yeah.
And we need to have more emphasis on that and less preoccupation with the sensation that you have when some innocent is brutally murdered and we all say, and rightly so, this is dreadful, but then we overreact and say, right, we've got to lock up everybody because this must not happen again. And of course it's utterly understandable and right that we say when something happens to an innocent person, we've got to do something about this.
Which brings me to Nikki Haga.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Jesus, yeah.
Woo!
Right again.
I told you so.
Yeah.
I told you so, everybody. That was a massive turnaround of events.
It was, if I might mildly cuss before 9 o'clock, that was some shitty stuff the cops were doing.
Yeah,
going to third parties like the phone companies in the Air New Zealand and saying we think he has committed fraud and we want to have a look. This,
you weren't looking for fraud for a start.
You were looking for
every single thing you could to try and
Rorschach. I don't know why you wanted Rorschach. I think it's because you were sucking up to John Key. I can't prove it, but I suspect that's what you were doing.
Or would it have been a government? It had to have been a government directive in a roundabout sort of come on way.
Yeah, it would have to be emphasis on the roundabout and the clicking. But you've got to wonder because you know. Whatever else he is, he's no dope, John Key.
And he doesn't like. And that's you know, Nikki was painting him as a dope in that book. Like what blew me away when that book came out is how many people were prepared to have an opinion on Nikki, and how many people were prepared to have an opinion on that book, and how few of those people even read one word of it.
Yep.
One single word of it.
Yep.
If you read it, it is watertight.
Yep.
Absolutely watertight.
Yep.
And you know, and the best thing that Judith Collins said the other day when she got asked about the you know, I said what, because Nikki got compensated quite well too,
and
rightfully so, man. You know, they rinsed his house and they went through all of his stuff, all of his professions. He's a professional journalist, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a privilege there. The journalists have the journalistic privilege, and
which is for our benefit.
Yeah, totally. And us being the punters.
Yeah.
And Judith Collins goes, oh well, you know, I'm still waiting for him to apologise to us. So he's not going to because he didn't lie.
You know, he wrote the truth about the bullshit that your people were writing three offices along from the Prime Minister and putting into the social media that were stoking enmity. bigotry and intolerance and calumnies. And just one other thing about it. People routinely would say, national MPs in particular, oh, he's just trying to sell books. He is never about the selling of the books. He is principally about the story he's got and the determination for it to be known.
He really is. And I've said, I'm sure you've heard me say this on the radio before. He is probably the nicest male I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
You know, he's the most genuine, honest, nicest guy.
And I've met John
guy.
Campbell, Mikey.
Yes. You know, John Campbell looks a bit flashy compared to Nicky Hager. Seriously. I'm sure that John, he holds the conversation. Yeah. You know, if that's the case. But no, Nicky's a really good dude. And his work is so vital, you know.
It is.
I'm really psyched to have seen that, and it's really interesting that the police feel that they're in a place that they can go, we blew it, you know,
utterly,
like the way that they weren't able to do in the Kin.com thing, but they're prepared to do this. So that's really interesting, David. Thank you. Good solid
always
block this
a
morning.
Pleasure.
Good solid political block or poly block. Thanks very much.
Multi-blocking.
See you soon.
See you, mate.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.